Genesis chapter 23, verse 6 is where we begin today. Actually, verse 7. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So Abraham's wife Sarah died, and he is speaking to the children of Heth about purchasing a burial place for Sarah. Verse 7, and Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. Abraham bowed out of gratitude for their kindness. And, they had offered, supposedly anyway, to give him land to bury Sarah. And he bowed, like I said, out of kindness. And, they couldn't bring Sarah back, but they showed that they cared and appreciated Abraham, and he showed that he appreciated them. When someone is hurting, you don't need to offer suggestions, and you don't need to feel bad that you don't have solutions, but you can show them that you care. You can do that. 8 and 9. And he communed with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is in the end of his field. For as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession and a burying place among you. Abraham didn't want to be given a tomb for Sarah. He wanted to buy one. He wanted to pay his own way. Verse 10. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all who went in at the gate of his city, saying, no, my lord, hear me. The field give I to you, and the cave that is therein, I give it to you. In the presence of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. He says, Abraham, I will give you a burying place. You don't have to buy it. It's my gift to you. Well, notice 12. But Abraham bowed himself before the people of the land, and he spoke unto Ephron and the audience of the people of the land, saying, but if you will give it, I pray you, hear me. I will give you money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. It seems like Ephron doesn't want Abraham to be concerned about money at a time like this. But Abraham insists on paying for it. Look at verse 14. Because, Abraham doesn't want a gift. And it says, Ephraim answered Abraham, saying unto him, my lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between me and you? Bury therefore your dead. 16. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron. And Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money, with the merchant. Abraham paid for the land immediately. It is the duty of every Christian to pay their bills when they are due. When it comes to money issues, the world knows what's right, and they would expect a Christian to do what's right. And even if they didn't, God does. 17. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of the city. Abraham paid for it immediately, and he got what he paid for immediately. If a Christian receives payment for a product or a service, they need to deliver that product or that service. It reflects badly on Christ if they don't. 19. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. You know, God devoted an entire chapter in this book to the tomb of Sarah. Do you ever wonder why? Because she was saved. And for that reason, she will be at the resurrection of the just. If the bodies of Christians are never coming back, throw the useless things into a pit or burn them like the Hindus. But that's not the case. Like Sarah, Christians will be raised. A Christian's funeral should be about Jesus. Jesus the Savior. And our future, which includes our physical resurrection. It should all testify to that. It's our last testimony. Chapter 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham could look back on his life and say it's been good. God has blessed in many ways. Of course, Abraham committed his share of sins. He definitely was no nice little Sunday school boy. But in spite of it all, God was able to bless because, as a rule, he put God first and he lived by faith. None of us are perfect, but if we put our faith in Jesus and as a result live God's will the best we can, confessing when we fail, he'll bless. Verse 2. And Abraham said unto his oldest servant of his house, and that would be Eliezer, who ruled over all that he had, put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh. Abraham had an important job for his servant, and he wanted him to swear that he would do his best. And that's why he told his servant to put his hand under his thigh. That's what people did when they swore an oath. 3, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. His servant is to find a wife for Isaac, but not a local girl, not a pagan, idolatrous Canaanite. And this is something that we see throughout Scripture. It is never God's will for a Christian to marry a non-Christian. God says, do not be unequally yoked together with non-Christians. Verse 4, but you shall go unto my country and to my kindred. And that would be the descendants of Shem. And take a wife unto my son Isaac. The family Abraham refers to, as I said, are the descendants of Noah's son Shem. The descendants of Noah's other two sons, Ham and Japheth, had already abandoned the true God by this time, but the people of Shem, which included Abraham's family, at least retained the knowledge of the one true God. How faithful they were to him at this particular time, that's another story. But they were Abraham's best shot at getting a God-fearing woman for his son. So, again, verse 4, but you shall go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And this was a very difficult assignment The servant would have to travel about 500 miles one way, find a believing woman who would be willing to leave her family and her city and her home to go to a land that she had never seen to marry a man she has never met. That's tough. God has to be in it, or it's not going to work. Verse 5, and the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring your son again unto the land from where you came? Plan A is a long shot, so the servant suggests a plan B. If I can't find a woman who is willing to leave home, is it okay if I move Isaac back there? Verse 6, Abraham said unto him, you beware that you bring not my son there again. Absolutely not, no way. If Abraham knew anything about God's will for sure, it was that he and his family were to be in the Holy Land. He knew that because that's what God had said. Maybe we don't know everything there is to know about God's will for us, but we do know that it's God's will for us to obey his word, so we can start there. Do what the Bible says. Do what you know God wants you to do from the written word of God, and he will show you other things when you need to know them. 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke unto me, and who swore unto me, saying, unto your seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife unto my son from thence. Abraham was confident. Abraham knew it was God's will for Isaac to be married. He knew it was God's will for Isaac to live in the Holy Land. And he knew that it was not God's will for Isaac to marry one of the local Canaanite girls. He put all those things together, and it doesn't take a spiritual genius to figure out that the servant's mission is going to be successful. However, in the event that Abraham is overlooking something, he says in verse 8, notice, and if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from this oath. Only bring not my son there again. If the servant does his best, but it doesn't work out for some reason, Abraham says, don't worry about it. And there's a lesson for us there. If God is in it, it will work out. If God is not in it, then it will not work out. So don't worry about it. If God is not in it, let go of it. Pray, do your best. If it doesn't work out, accept the fact that it's not God's will. At least it isn't his will right now. Verse 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning that matter. It's going to be tough, and he may come home looking like a failure, but he will try his best for his master, Abraham. Doesn't matter how we may look to others. I couldn't care less if the world thinks I'm a miserable failure, which I probably am in their eyes. But I don't care. All I want is to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. If God says, well, Mike, you messed up quite a few times, and you know that. And some of them were really bad, and you know that. But I know you care deep down. If he says that to you, if he says that to me, I think we're going to feel pretty good, don't you? We'll pick it up in verse 10 next time.